John 6 is a fairly long, very important chapter. We will take the next few weeks at least to work through it. But moving ahead from where we were last week, we start with verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. The other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Amen. Well, other than the rainbow connection, probably the most famous song by the Muppets is called "Mana Mana." I'm sure most of you have heard it, probably seen video at some point or other. And if you can remember back at all, even try to remember back to the first time you saw it, I think I can remember the first time I saw it, and your reaction was probably something similar to mine, which was, "What was that?" And I thought of that because basically, as these folks talk about manna, they're talking about a very ancient, "What was that?" And they didn't know then, and clearly they don't know now. And Jesus really has to try to bring them up to speed on things that they should have understood, but they don't understand. Manna is an interesting word. It's one of those words, if you look up in a bunch of different Bible references, you'll find different kinds of meanings ascribed to it and roots. But I think the most likely, this isn't, gospel, write this down, smart seminary guy knows this, because there are different accounts, but I think, having looked at many of them, that the most reasonable is that the first part, ma, is sort of a loan word from Egyptian. Remember, they had just spent quite some time in Egypt, and so you pick up a word here or there. And ma is basically just a question. Okay, in Italian. It means a question. And na is basically an exclamation. So when they get out in the morning and had been crying for food and they see this stuff on the ground, they go, "Mana!" Which basically, you could translate it as a question mark and an exclamation point. And that would be a fair translation of it, because they basically are saying, "What is this?" And Moses accounts for it and tells them what to do with it and what God expects them to do with it and all of that. And it lodges itself in the collective memory of the people. You know, so that here, many, many, many years later, they know this story. It's part of their story. It's part of who they believe they are. The idea that they were the people out there in the wilderness and that Moses provided for them. So anyway, they got the loaves and fishes the day before. And now they follow Jesus across the lake to Capernaum. They find him and they say, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Which is interesting in itself. I think that alerts us to the tone that we're going to see in these next verses. You say, how does that happen? Well, if you think back to last week, or if you glance back at the earlier part of the chapter, remember that Jesus provides this amazing, miraculous meal out there in the wilderness, and the people go, "This is the prophet." Right? This is the prophet, the one we've been waiting for, the long-promised one. This is the prophet. And then they want to make him king. So somehow, with a day gone by, he's gone from prophet to king to back to, "Hey, Rabbi." And so you sense the magic's worn off, you know, the thrill's kind of gone. They're very much like probably all of us are. You know, that was very great, but what have you done for us lately? And so they seek him out and they ask a stupid question. "When did you get here?" It's like, who cares? And Jesus ignores their question because he realizes the important thing is not what they're asking, but why they're asking it. And what is the motive? Why are they asking him anything? And he says, you're asking not because you saw the sign. Remember, the sign indicates that this is someone sent from God. The sign authenticates that Jesus is an authentic messenger sent from God. And so they should be hanging on his every word and wanting to hear more of the word of God from one whom God has affirmed in this way. And yet they see the sign and just want more bread. So he really tells them, you're all about the wrong things here. What you need to be doing is seeking the bread that really satisfies. And he seems to me to be quoting from Isaiah 55 here as he talks to them, don't work for that bread which is just passing, but work for the bread of eternal life. And they don't understand what he's saying and they don't understand how to do it. So they ask the basic question of religion, the best basic question of all religion. What should we be doing to do the works of God? Right, how do we earn the special bread that you're talking about? What do we have to do? What do we have to perform? What do we have to follow? What rituals? What works? Whatever. What do we need to be doing the works of God so that we can earn our way? Isn't that what religion is all about? Right, what do we have to do to get good stuff from God? Right, we all want good stuff from God. And we want to know what we have to do. Just give us our instructions. We'll do them. And then God, the great vending machine in the sky, will dispense the blessings that we want. That's how it works. And Jesus said, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works. He said, here's the work of God. The work of God. Now, an interesting thing about that phrase. It doesn't say this is your work for God. It said this is the work of God. This is God's own work that he sent his son, that he has sent me and he set his seal upon me. And you need to believe. This is the work of God, that you believe him whom he has sent and on whom he has set his seal. Now, people debate what the seal is. Some talk about the announcement at the baptism, you know, when Jesus comes up out of the water and this is my beloved son. That's possible. I think the seal he's referring to is the seal of the works that give affirmation, the credentials, you know, that he is in fact sent from God. Those are the seal of God upon him. No one can feed 5,000 people with a kid's lunch except God is with him. No one can make wine from water. Wish we could, but we can't. Unless God is with him. No one can do the things Jesus is doing unless God's with him. And every one of them is God stamping his seal upon him, saying, this is the one I have sent. Listen to him. And they're not listening. And they go on to show that they're still not listening. They're still not getting it because they're living in a different story. Right, you know, we don't really live with the facts of our life, do we? We live with the story we tell ourselves about the facts of our life. Right, our brains organize and interpret. We leave things out. We put things in. We interpret what's going on. We make up our story. Everybody's got their story. If you know, maybe you haven't seen someone for quite a while. You know, you're talking to them and say, hey, what's been going on in your life? And they tell you, you think, that's not your story. And they think it's their story. You know, and you can tell them your story. Well, they have their story. Here's who we are. And they go back to Moses and the manna. And they want another sign from him. And they basically, it seems to be saying, look, Moses gave the people bread for 40 years. Not one good lunch. So what are you going to do? And Jesus moves into more needed correction. He says, first of all, you need to understand, Moses didn't give you anything. Right? God, my Father, gave bread. And right now, the Father is giving the true bread from heaven. Right, trying to change the story. The manna was just supposed to show you the amazing provision of God. That God cared for his people. He watched over his people. He provided for his people. And he says, right now, God is caring and providing for his people by sending the bread of heaven. And he's standing right here before you. And you just need to believe. He says, you just need to ask. And then they actually ask. And it's sort of like the Samaritan woman. Remember, he says, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask of him and he would give you living water. Remember, and she says, sir, give me this water. And he proceeds to give her the water. And when we looked at that story, we saw that it was a pretty flawed asking. She didn't really understand. She hadn't mastered, she hadn't even been to Sunday school yet. You know, she didn't know any of the good stuff. And yet she asks and Jesus gives. Sort of like the call to worship. Ask, and you shall receive. So they say, give us this bread. And so Jesus tells them what the bread really and truly is. He says, I am the bread from heaven. I am. The first of the famous I am sayings, you know, John's gospel, we talk about it being organized around seven signs, miracles, and seven I am sayings, and this is the first of those. And the Greek construction is unusual. Ego, I, me. It basically means I am, I am. Right? Jesus kind of repeats himself there. And it's a very odd phrase, except shouldn't be odd to them because it's the exact phrase the way they translated the Old Testament name of God, I am who I am. Yahweh. I am who I am. Jesus says, I am the bread of heaven. So he's telling them to believe, to see the fulfillment of that which manna was but a distant and dim sign. and to receive the truth and that which would give a new life and introduce them into a whole new story, a whole new way of thinking about life and being in relationship with God the Father and understanding. And it's not about what they need to do and how they need to serve and all of that. It's just about believing and receiving the bread that the Father has given in His Son. It's a promise. If you believe, you receive this new life. And that's what we celebrate, isn't it, as we come to the Lord's table? So we receive the life of our Lord Jesus, the continuing life of our Lord Jesus, to sustain us for our walk through this Christian life. Some, I know, come to the Lord's table and think, I'm not sure this is for me, or maybe it's not quite for me this month. And I want to tell you, yes it is. If you have once received the Lord Jesus, if you've trusted in Him, come with open hands, open heart, and received the bread of life, received the Lord Jesus, then He is always yours. We're going to spend more time looking at that magnificent promise that He makes before we ended that particular passage. But it's there. Those that the Father gives to me, I will lose none. Now, isn't that wonderful? Because I don't know what kind of week you had. Mine wasn't so hot. But here's the great thing. Jesus did it all. I don't come to God with my credentials. Say, here's why you should save me. Because I've got nothing. Right? Failing grade before God. And yet, He says, you trust in my Son. You believe in Him. You receive this bread of life. And you are mine. And eternal life is yours. And the great thing I want to stress to you today is that not only is it freely given to you, but it freely remains upon you, and you can't mess it up. So often, don't we feel like, well, you know, it was nice of Jesus to save us, but we're not doing such a good job. Well, you were a failure when it came to you. He's not going to throw you out now. He called you as His own. He claims you as His own. He says, I'm holding on to you. So no matter what kind of week you had, Jesus calls you to receive these signs and seals of His faithful covenant love for you. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank You for such amazing love. Lord, that You come into our lives and cause us to see our lack in Jesus' provision, that we could see our hunger and that He is in fact the bread of life. And Lord, having received this bread, we pray that, we praise You that You will never take it from us. And we thank You for these monthly reminders, reinforcements, refreshments of the precious truth that we might feast upon the covenant of our Lord Jesus. And we pray in His name. Amen.